Learning Nechta Meliyahu, the Hebrew Volume 1, on page 115. This is the third class on the topic of choice, free choice. What we discussed up to now is the first point was that people make a mistake in thinking that they are slaves to their desires, that their desires are too powerful to overcome. And that really is not true. Any person who's ever experienced saying no to a desire will see that it's absolutely possible. You say no and then it's you survive. You can survive by saying no. So that what he explained was, while there are desires that pull us in different directions, it's for us to recognize what is truly for our good. In other words, one option benefits us, whereas the other option harms us. And we have the ability to recognize this and to identify it. We have to say, this is the truly good option, and this is the deceptive option. This is the option that appears to be good. Because both sides argue for their, like two lawyers, both sides argue for their side of the, for their choice to be taken. And each one tries to persuade the client what's the true path. As the Eitzer Tov, the good inclination, will show you what's truly good for you, and the Eitzer will also show you what he will present you as being truly good for you. Really, this is to your benefit. It's to your benefit to follow my path. And a person, it's up to the person himself to recognize what's true and what's false, and then he makes a decision based on that. And that's 100% in our hands. We have the ability to make these choices. The second point Rav Dessler discussed is the idea of the point of free choice. They're just like two armies when they battle each other. So the war is only at the battlefront. Everything beyond the battlefront is to conquer territory. It either belongs to the one army who was conquered up to a certain point, or it belongs to the other army that's conquered up to its point. But the war is only at the front. That's where the war takes place. That's where the battle takes place. And that's where advances can be gained. So a person who wins a battle, so he pushes the front further back, right, and he makes new advances. And now the battlefront is in a new place. And that's how he can actually change his level, because by making good choices, so eventually that becomes part of his personality. Right? It becomes a habit to, it's a person who starts a certain regime, right? He starts acting, right? Instead of getting up at 7 every morning, he gets up at 6:30, and he does that for a while. So it becomes, let's say, a habit, and then it becomes natural. So that's conquered territory. It's now simple for him to get up at 6:30. The question is, you know, will he get up at 6:15 or not? Whatever it is, that's just an example. So therefore, he moves the battlefield. The dynamic that we said is what the rabbis taught is mitzvah gereris mitzvah. One mitzvah brings on to another mitzvah. And it's through doing a good deed, so that gives us the impetus to do another good deed, which gives us the impetus to do another good deed. Now, you get onto a roll, it starts rolling, starts moving faster and faster by itself almost. Okay. Or conversely, a person who gives in to his Yetzer Hara, so there we say the dynamic is Avera, Gereris Avera, right? One sin leads to another sin, leads to another sin. Right, we also mentioned the idea that a person who sins a number of times, it becomes already permitted to him. It's like he doesn't have a choice in the matter. Now, under this heading of the point of free choice, we spoke that a person trains himself to be good, and therefore he gets onto a higher plane. But what we have to realize is that even though different people on different planes, everybody has free choice. Every single person in this whole world, everyone in the world is in a situation of free choice. Whatever it happens, whatever level he's at that point, he makes the decisions between good and bad. And that's, in that sense, it's equal. But one can train himself, or one can push himself to a different level, and then the free choice is at the new. It's the new front line, but it always depends. There's always free choice. There's always free choice, and really, that's what our lives are about. Our lives are about this struggle between the right. That's where we live. We live at the point of free choice. That's where we are. Because that's the battle. The rest is just, you know, the rest goes naturally. Things that you're already in the habit of doing, you do that naturally. There's no resistance. But the point of free choice is actually where life takes place. And that's portrayed in the verse which we have at the end of the book of Dvorim, that Hashem says to him, Achai v'amoves nesati lefanecha. I've placed before you life and death. And Rav Dessler explains that we actually, each one of us, have within us a mix of life and death, because we have good traits and we have bad traits. We have good character, we have certain elements of good habits, we have certain good habits, and we have certain bad habits. And that's the mix. Right? So we have life and death. We have a pull towards life-giving activities, and we have a pull towards doing things that are negative to us, that are harmful to us, which lead us to death. And there the Torah says, "Bechata b'chaim." We should choose life. Hashem wants us to choose life, the path of life. Also, a famous teaching we mentioned last week's class, and the last class was, "Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz mi'yirashamayim." All is in the hands of heaven. Everything in our lives is controlled. Who our parents are, who our environment is, what sort of personality we have, what sort of character we have, right? Who are our family, everything, who are our neighbors, everything is determined from the heavens, absolutely everything. Everything is set up for us. And it's a given. It's a given who, right, what type of person you are, what type of people you have in your life. All of this is a given, except for this point of free choice. And that's what it says, all is in the hands of heaven, except for the fear of heaven. Because either you do things that are what Hashem wants you to do, or you do things which Hashem doesn't want you to do, but it's your free choice. So really, that is the point. That's where we live our lives. That's us. That's where we can affect our lives, and we can shift our lives from one level to another. The third point we mentioned was that the person has to be responsible for his free choice. A person is responsible for his level, because there's certain levels that you're given. And let's say a person's born up in a certain environment, so he's at the level of his environment. If he grows up amongst tzaddikim, so then that becomes the norm for him. Well, it's normal to keep mitzvahs, it's normal to learn Torah, it's normal to daven. All of this becomes the norm for him. That's the given. That he doesn't really get credit for so much. So certain people are born amongst tzaddikim. Other people maybe have been born amongst rishoyim. He was born up in a neighborhood of gangsters and mobsters and thieves and robbers and murderers. That's everyone he knows. That's his whole family are like that. So therefore, that's the given. But then afterwards, through free choice, we change our level. And for that, we get credit. That's what we move our points of free choice. So for that point, for that, we get credit, and we are responsible for that. In other words, if we're on a certain high level, we took ourselves down to a lower level. So for having taken ourselves down, we are going to be responsible. Right? Or if we pushed ourselves up to a higher level, I used to live like this, and now I live like that. That I take responsibility, that I get credit for changing my level. And the last point we mentioned in the last class was that there's a ripple effect when a person does make good choices. So he affects other people, he affects his environment, he affects his children, he affects his neighbors. And therefore, if he does a good deed and other people are inspired by that, he gets credit for all the other people who follow his example. If he does a bad deed and other people are also swayed by his actions, so then he's going to get punished for all of that. There's a Gemara that speaks about a man who had a hole in his pocket and a coin fell out. And a poor person picked up the coin and bought himself breakfast. So in Shemayim, he gets credit for doing tzedakah. In Shemayim, they're going to give him reward for doing tzedakah. He didn't consciously do tzedakah. There was a hole in his pocket. The coin fell out. He wasn't his control at all. Even so, he gets credit for that. So the Altar of Kelm says, all the more so, when we act in a certain way, and other people, without us realizing it, are following our example, people see the way you act. Right? They see you being very kind, or very compassionate, or helping other people, and they're also inspired to do the same thing. You get credit the same way, even though you're totally unconscious of it. But they're following you, they're inspired by your example, so you're getting reward for that. Right? Whatever we do has an effect, right, whether we're conscious of it or not. Okay, we're starting the fourth point here. It's on page 115 in the Hebrew. Chinuch Valia. Says Rav Desla, Mizvaylan Mikol Zeh. It's understood from everything we've said up to now. That the merits of a person are not the mitzvahs and good deeds that he's been trained to do. He's trained, right? Almost training, this makes it sound like a monkey, right? And you train a monkey, you train a dog, right? You train. So the real merit is not from that which he's trained to do, that he does out of training. Rather, it's his good choices that he made by himself. His own good choices. There the real credit lies. Because whatever they trained him towards is only in terms of setting up the place, the background of his point of free choice. As he's put into a certain situation, and that training put him in that situation. That was a given. Shehi lo nasis al yodo. This was not done by him. The reward for putting you in this good situation will go to those who train you. Those who educated you get the credit. If they put you into a very good situation, whether it's your parents, whether it's your teachers, whether it's friends, whatever it was, those who pushed you into that situation, they placed you in that situation, they get the schar, the reward for that. Shekimu mitzvahs chinuch, they fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch, educating others, or the word chinuch also means to launch. To launch others, they got them started, right? Like you launch a boat, so you get a person started on a good path. You set him up so that he started on a good path. Not necessarily parents. Anyone who affects another person would get the credit for having been mechanech him, launching him or educating him. Because he put him in this situation where he's going to make free choices from this starting place. Right? We're going to say over a vote from Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. This is not the Rosh Hashiva who was Nifta recently. It's his great grandfather. Is the Alt of Slobodka, one of the great Musa leaders of his day, and his influence goes on today. So he writes, it appears in his Sefer Oret Sofun. He writes as follows on Parshas Lot. This is his insight, a brilliant insight, which is you might have heard. Right. He explains like this. Chesed hayachilku shel Avram. Right. The attribute of kindness was the share of Avram. This was really Avram's great, it was his great specialty. Right. That's where he's in his closeness, his service of Hashem. He specialized in chesed, doing chesed to others. Anyone who saw Avram and Avram doing chesed, he's Allah the chesed, Mesias Nefesh Neiro. Anyone who saw Avram would himself want to, it was so beautiful to see, would want to follow his example to the degree of self-sacrifice. Those who'd been inspired of Avram were even prepared to sacrifice themselves to do chesed like Avram. That was the level of inspiration. Kegoin, Lot. So the example of that is Lot, his nephew Lot. When those angels came to, he didn't know they were angels. When those visitors came to this town of Sdom, so he was begging them to come to his house. Please come to my house. He was begging, he was pleading with them to come to his house. And the verse says, he pleaded with them greatly. And then when they came to him, Moshe Nafshal, Nekudas Achroina. He was self-sacrificing to the very last point, right? Because the townspeople were very upset with him that he had taken a guest into his house. That was against the rule of the town. It was against the statutes of the town. Right? Everyone mustn't let poor people in. They're going to ruin the neighborhood, and therefore there was no chesed allowed in the city of Sdom. No one must give charity to paupers so that they'll go away, so that we'll have a fine neighborhood with fine people. We won't have all of these schnorrers in town. So therefore, when Lot took in guests, there was an outrage. And the verses, Yikshu Lishaver Hadelis, they came to smash the door. They were ready to lynch him. They were ready to kill him. Had the angels not done a miracle and blinded all the people that were banging at his doors, they would have killed him. Right? They would have killed Lot. The fact that the angels stopped the people from breaking down the door was to save Lot. But Lot himself was willing to sacrifice himself to save his guests. Wow, that's amazing. He was willing to give up his own life. Well, first he suggested he's going to give his daughters over, but then he was going to, he was meant to, out to appease them to save his dead. Right? That was his level in terms of chesed. Amazing chesed. Now, here comes the puzzle. Mi'ata masha'oma akosav, what the verse says, V'yizkal ukim es Avrom. Hashem remembered Avrom. And when it came time to destroy the cities of Sodom, Hashem had decided to destroy those cities completely. So then it says Hashem remembered Avram, right? Prior to saving Lot. Lot was the only one saved. Lot and his two daughters were the only ones saved. So prior to saving Lot, the Pasuk says Hashem remembered Avram. Right? So it sounds like a Lot was saved in the merit of his uncle Avram. But the understanding is not like that. Nizka Shahaya Loit Yodea. This is what Rashi brings. He remembered Avram, and obviously he remembered Avram, that he remembered the nephew of Avram who also has merit. Because really, remembering Avram is remembering Lot's merit. So Nizka Shaya Loit Yodea Shasara Ishta Shel Avram. He remembered, Hashem remembered that Lot knew at the time they went down to Egypt. There was a famine in Eretz Israel earlier, and Avram and Sarah went down to Egypt, and Lot went with them. And Avram told the Egyptian authorities that she's my sister, so that they wouldn't kill him, that he said was my sister. So Nizka Shaya Lot Yodesha Sarah Ishta Shel Avram. Lot, however, knew that Sarah is Avram's wife. Veshoma Shoma Avram Mitzrayim al Sarah Chuisihi. He overheard Avram telling the Egyptians that Sarah is my sister. Velo Gilo Hadova. And he didn't spill the beans. It's really his wife. He didn't spill the beans. He kept quiet. This is his merit. Why was he saved when Sodom was turned upside down? Rashi tells us, because he didn't spill the beans on Avram, that Avram's really the husband of Sarah. He didn't tell the Egyptians that Avram's lying to them. Who magil? This is amazing. This is why he was saved. She'odim god l'chesed mesias nefesh. Someone who did this great act of kindness, willing to even give up his life for the act of kindness. Lo yichoshev lo yizeklum. They didn't count this. When Hashem came to saving Lot, it was not because of the kindness he did to the angels. That was not part of the equation. The reason Hashem saved Lot was when he was in Egypt, he didn't tell the Egyptians that Avram's a liar, that it's really his wife. Huh? His credit was that he wasn't a talebearer. He didn't give over his uncle. Avram was his uncle. Gisa, he was his brother-in-law. Because really Lot and Sarah were brother and sister. So he was his brother-in-law. Verabboy, it was his Rebbe. Right? Leroitzchim. So that's his credit. He didn't hand his brother-in-law over to murderers. That's his credit. That's for that reason he's saved. So what do we learn from this? Mikan lamadnu. From here we learn. Shekol ma shemegiel adam al yedei chinuch. From here we learn. This is sort of Nosson Tzvi's chidushya. That which he achieved through being educated, the fact that he was moise nefesh, he was self-sacrificing for his guests, that was only because of the way he was trained. Afilu ad kedei mesias nefesh, even though he was prepared to give up his life to do chesed, eina madregas adam amitis is not the true level of the person. He didn't get credit for that. The fact that he saved the angels was not to his credit. It was not something that would have saved his life, because he was trained to do that. Umay madregosi. So what was his true level, and on what merit was he saved? Where he was able to overcome his Yetzer with something that they hadn't trained him. Avram had never trained him not to be a talebearer, right? Not to be a mosu. A mosu is someone who tells stories to the authorities, to the Goyish authorities. So this was his own personal triumph. The fact that he had a calculation to give Avram away, to say, you know, he's lying to you, it's really his wife. Right? He had to, you know, maybe get some prize for it, they'd give him some sort of reward money. Right? We've had that, you know, we had the Jews that have gone to the Goyish authorities throughout the generations to our great Sora people. Right? So therefore there was a certain pull for him to give up Avram to the authorities, to the Egyptian authorities, and he overcame that evil inclination, and for that he got credit, because that was something he did by himself. That was something he did on himself. That was his true level. That was his true achievement. And for that he was saved. Most people, even though they've been educated, they've been trained, they've been educated to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, yasu mitzvahs anashim melumoda. They do mitzvahs out of habit. This, by the way, is normally to be understood in the negative concept, negative context. They do things out of habit. They do mitzvahs, but they do it out of habit. Mitzvahs anashim melumoda. Right, their prayers are like a tape recorder, like a parrot. It's rote. The rote observance of Hashem. So says Rav Desla, most people fall prey to this, that they serve Hashem by rote. Even though Hashem will not hold back the reward on any creature, any person who does any type of kindness, Hashem always gives reward. Hashem always gives reward, right? No matter who you do, no matter who you are, even if you do the smallest kindness, Hashem never withholds your reward. By the way, there's a beautiful pshat Rav Desla says elsewhere on the words Koine Hakul. We say in the Shmon Esrei, the first brocha, the Morgan of Rome, the first brocha of Shmon Esrei, we say Hashem is Goimel Chasodim Toivim. Hashem does great kindnesses, the Koine Hakul, and He acquires all. So what does it mean He acquires all? He buys it all. What does it mean He buys it all? So if this says it means that any kindness, any good deed a person does, even the smallest good deed, even just the smallest thought of a good deed, Hashem is in the market. He gives a reward for it. He buys it all.
What do you mean He buys it
all? Hashem, so to speak, will take it. He'll take it to the upper heavens and He'll give the person reward for even the smallest good deeds. Whatever, even if a person is a very wicked person, but he does a certain good act, one fine Tuesday, he does a certain good act for his neighbor, right? Even though normally he never does anything. So Hashem is koyin akol, Hashem buys it all. If it's just the slightest kindness that a person does, Hashem will already take it and give him reward for it. Right? He's in the market. Hashem, so to speak, buys up all our mitzvahs and gives and pays us out for all of our mitzvahs. That's koyin akol. Hashem takes any credit we have. So therefore, even though a person's doing mitzvahs out of rote, he does that in a habitual way. A person will get reward. There is reward. Every good deed, there is reward. No matter what you are, no matter who you are, there's always reward for a good deed. Hashem doesn't withhold any reward from any creature. So therefore, even a person does a good deed out of habit, he gets reward. But mikol mokum kinyan madregas, in terms of acquiring a higher spiritual level, in terms of spiritual growth, right? The Hainu Bechias, which comes through good choice, Kimach Einem, right? They almost don't have it at all. If a person's service of Hashem is purely what he's been trained to do, right? He had parents that trained him to act in a certain way, and he just keeps up that basic standard that he was trained, and he doesn't advance at all by himself. There's no personal advancement. It's just whatever they showed him, that's what he does. Right, the way his father davened, the way his father kept Shabbos, the way his father learned Torah, he does the exact same thing. He's a carbon copy of what he was trained, what his teachers, and he never advances, so therefore he can't get to a new level. He gets reward for all his good deeds, but there will be no growth. Right, and because growth can only come from free choice, where he advances into new territory, conquers new territory. So such growth, a person who only relies on what he was given. Right, you can have a person born to a very frum household, and he's very, very frum. He does everything mamish beautifully, but it's all rote. It's all trained. It's just he was born amongst very outstanding people. He was trained to act in this very, very high level, and it's all outstanding. And there's no growth. He's basically stuck where he is because he's not taking it further. He's only staying. He's only sticking to what he was shown. So such a person doesn't really grow, and therefore there's no real credit, there's no real advancement. Because it comes out that only at very, very rare occasions does he come to have a fight with his evil inclination. Life for him is easy. So you have some people who have a very good nature. They're naturally very good natured, naturally very generous, naturally they don't get upset, you insult them, they're easygoing, not water off a duck's back, they don't get upset. So there's almost no battle with the Yetzirah. Just life is very smooth sailing, very easy sailing, very comfortable living. No challenges almost, because, you know, he's naturally easygoing person and naturally a kind person. So there's no challenge, there's no battle, there's no war, there's no advancement. So you can see someone, Mamish, who's way up there, and really there's no growth in that person at all. Unbelievable.
So how does it go higher?
So Hashem does send challenges. It's just, you know, some people can avoid challenges. They sort of sidestep them. Instead of facing them, they sort of, you know, they just avoid them. So Hashem does send challenges. A person who's looking to grow, there's always opportunity to grow. There's always, right, there's always things we have to do. There's always the next step. Every single person has the next step that he hasn't yet reached, right? Wherever you are on that ladder, there's one rung up above where you are at the moment, right? It doesn't matter where you are. Wherever you are, you can always go a little bit higher. So that's the challenge. There are people who manage to avoid it, and they feel comfortable because they're high enough. They feel, oh, you know, I'm a good person. What's wrong with me? Asher adam asher yishtamesh bebechinucha atzoi betez hachona. So says Rav Dessler, fortunate is the person who will use his good education as his preparation. He'll use that as his base. He won't go back down. He won't go down from what they gave him. Whatever his parents gave him, whatever his environment gave him, he'll keep that as his base. But he will put his sights on going higher, taking it to the next level. But he will not be satisfied with his given situation. Rather, he will put his sights, he'll set his gaze, his goals, to going up to the next level. Hein b'maisa, whether it's in terms of his actions, hein b'kavodah selev, and whether it's in terms of his intentions. Right, because you can have loftier intentions. You can have two people doing the same deed, but one person's intentions are on a higher level. He's doing it for the sake of heavens. He's doing it for the honor of Hashem. He's doing it to bring glory to Hashem. And one person's level intention could be much lower. The other person's just doing it for the reward. Or he's just doing it because he's scared, you know, he doesn't want to look bad by his neighbors. He doesn't want people to laugh at him. He doesn't want people to scoff him. So therefore the intention can make two people doing the same act, the difference could be between them day and night, based on the intention. So therefore, the person who looks always to improve his station, in terms of his actions, he does things in a more beautiful way, or in terms of his intentions, and or, in terms of his intention, that he has higher intentions, that also puts him onto a higher level. Become a gadlo, hachrayus, shalmish, mistapik, v'mitzis, anoshim, melumodah. And how great is the responsibility, the debt, of the weight of responsibility on someone who is satisfied with just keeping with his habits. He just does things out of habit. Shein behem b'chir, where there's no free choice. He avoids the free choice. Ki godel oynish b'tel Torah mikol averis. Of course, we know that the punishment for not learning Torah is one of the worst punishments. A person who could be learning and doesn't learn carries one of the worst punishments. The culture came with this. So also more so, if a person has an opportunity to grow and he doesn't grow, he's not a person who chooses good. He chooses to do something good. Which is what a person's about. If our whole life is in the realm of our free choice, right? We said that's where the struggle is. That's where we're really living, is in the realm of free choice. So if a person's avoiding it, he's avoiding making good decisions, he's just sort of staying with the status quo, he's avoiding making new good choices, he's avoiding life. Because that's what your life's about. Your life is about your growth. That's the bottom line. How much have you grown from what you were given? So therefore, if you're just avoiding it, you're avoiding life. Like a person spends his whole day in bed, he doesn't want to move out of his bed. And when a person does make good choices, he does choose to be on a path of self-improvement. So therefore, he does increase his Torah observance and mitzvahs. All of these things done through his good choice, with his battle with his evil inclination, because everything new you want to take on, there's always resistance. It's hard to do something new. It's hard to do something you're not used to. And why is it hard? Because the Yetzer pulls you back. There's resistance. Right? You're going uphill all of a sudden. You're not going on a level ground anymore. Now you're climbing a hill. It's much harder. Because the Yetzer is, the Yetzer is not interested in a person climbing higher. Then all of his actions are all credits. And that's what the rabbis have taught in the Gemara. It's a very famous teaching. Hashem wanted to give merit to the Jewish people. And therefore, he gave them much Torah to learn, and he gave them many mitzvahs to fulfill. He gave us many, many, many opportunities to serve him. Some people regard the fact that there's so many mitzvahs, they regard it as a yoke, they regard it as a burden. But it's not really a burden, it's an opportunity. Because you've got many, many opportunities, many, many ways to climb, many, many ways to progress. It's like a certain person who's climbing a mountain. So sometimes the trail is very difficult, it's very hard, or maybe there's a cliff there. But you know, there are other trails. Maybe just a little bit down, maybe it's easier to climb up the mountain. Over here it's quite hard, but over there you can keep climbing. Hashem has given us many mitzvahs. Certain mitzvahs are hard for us to fulfill. Certain issues are very hard for us to tackle. But we have other mitzvahs we can be tackling. And we can also grow over there. But maybe at a different pace, maybe in a slightly different area. But that's Hashem has given us many, many opportunities for us to advance. V'hein amnam gam la'akum yesh b'chira. And even though it's true, even for non-Jews, also have free choice. Every single person in the world has free choice, and therefore he can grow. Every single person can advance. The mokum, the kudus bechirosim, at wherever his point of free choice is, wherever he starts, right? That's wherever his starting place is. From there, he can grow. You can gam heim yecholim lezachos bechirosim. Therefore, they can also gain merit through making good choices. Aval, but Hashem Yisbarach Ratzah Shiyu Kol Chayv Bnei Yisrael Meleim Bechiyas Tevis. Hashem wanted that the lives of the Jewish people should be filled with good choices. Meleim Bechiyas, full of merits. Alkein Hir Beleim Tevis Mitzvahs. That's why He gave us so much Torah and so many mitzvahs. Now, Hashem, every person in this world has an opportunity to grow and advance. But Hashem is especially interested in the Jewish people, and therefore to us He gave many, many mitzvahs. He's given us many, many opportunities. And also sometimes He gives us hardships. That's why sometimes it's harder to be Jewish, right? It's hard to be a Jew. But it's okay, there are challenges and there are hardships, but these are things we can overcome. These are things that are given to us for us to grow, because when you overcome a challenge, then that puts you into a new place. The wider the battlefield, the battlefront is, so therefore the wider will be the opportunities to do acts of valor, right? And therefore our victories become much greater. Okay, that finishes for us the fourth point, which was that the comparison between what we're trained to do and what we ourselves do by ourselves, right? Our own personal aliyah. Chinuch v'aliyah, right? Our training versus our personal growth. The fifth point is as follows. The chapter is called here Madregas Ben Chorim, the level of being free, a free person, right? Many, many people, it's a very popular topic, is the concept that we are free. Right? We want to be a free people. Let me be free. We're free to make free choice. Free choice. So this is not such a simple, exactly who's considered free, who's really free. So this is not such a simple topic to tackle. Right? People who consider themselves free maybe really aren't so free, as much as they'd like to think they're free. Right? These people who research such topics, They call it free choice. Right? That's the popular expression, free choice. This is something that you find through all, right? Throughout the world. It's not just a Jewish concept. It's something that's a universal concept. Right? Free choice. Person has free choice. However, we'll think into the matter. Hashem hazeh matim rak al shetach mugbal. That this title, this category only really is true, only really matches a certain very limited a very limited area. It's only true in a certain limited area. Which is to say, at the point of free choice, that's where a person is free to choose. It's only at that point. It's only at that point of free choice that a person is really free to choose either option. To make the choice by himself without being pushed or pulled to one direction. Right? A person is pulled by all sorts of different influences, right? The secular world, for sure, peer pressure. Right? All his friends are doing X, Y, and Z. How can he possibly do elsewise? Right? All his neighbors are acting in a certain way. So he's not free because he's dependent on society. You have to fit into society. You have to do what everyone else is doing. Otherwise, you'll be ridiculed. Otherwise, you'll be an outcast. So therefore, it's not really free. You know, your friends have decided they want to go camping. You're not really free because otherwise. You know, otherwise you just lose your friends, because if you don't go with them, so you're stuck. So therefore, really, the area of free choice is a limited area. Amnam lemala min nikudas bechiras, however, higher than his free choice. If a person wants to reach for something that's higher than where he's holding at the moment, right? Asher sham haadam reshus yitzhara, where actually he's entering the domain of the yitzhara. He's entering the domain of the yitzhara. So it's things that he's never done before. And therefore, it's things that the Yetzirah doesn't want him to do. Right? The person wants to do something that he's never done before. He wants to do something on a higher level than he's done before. So now he's entering the field of the Yetzirah. This is where the Yetzirah is the boss. He says, no, no way, you're not doing any of this. You're entering my territory. What are you doing here? So the person wants to enter into a higher territory where the Yetzirah is the boss, because he says, this is where I'm in charge. I don't let you do anything here. You know, you don't touch anything. Get out of my store. Get out of my space. There the Yetzirah is in charge. He says, no, I'm not going to let you daven with Kavanah. I'm not going to let you learn an extra hour a day. I'm not going to let you do this and that. So there a person's forced. He's under the control of the Yetzirah. He's going to force him not to enter this higher area. Right? That's higher than where you are. And similarly, if you go lower than your point of free choice, but if a person wants to drop to a level lower, so that's already the domain of the Yetzer Tov, that's where the Yetzer doesn't have any entrance at all. If you want to drop to a lower level, that's where your Yetzer Tov is the balabos. So there you're forced to do goodness, because that's how you've always done it. That's your habit. That's already your upbringing. That's already your training. So there the Yetzer doesn't try and tempt you today. The Yetzer doesn't try to tempt us to break Shabbos. The Yetzer doesn't try to tempt us to eat non-kosher food. Right? That's already the domain of the Yetzer Tov, lower than your present level. So their person is forced to do good. He kvar kibel alav ol malchus shamayim, because he already accepted the yoke of doing the will of Hashem. He's already accepted to keep Torah and mitzvahs at that level. Right? So that level is going to force him to act in a good way. And this is what the person already merited by choosing the right path, choosing the God-fearing path. So therefore, when he's at these levels, it comes out he was never free. Right? Higher than your point of free choice, you're not really free. And lower than your point of free choice, you're also not free. Right? The one area is all the Yetzirah. He doesn't really let you do anything new. One is your Yetzirah Tov. He doesn't let you do anything bad. He doesn't let you do anything new that's bad, because that's where you're already committed to. It's like if you come into someone's house and you want to start doing new things. He doesn't let you. What are you doing in my house? You come into my house and you want to go into my kitchen. You want to start cooking food in my kitchen. Who are you? Now get out of my house. So therefore, when he moves into this area, which is conquered area, it comes out he was never free. That's not free, because that's already a given. And the Shritov is Atzma Chofshi. Only he thought himself free, my error. Right? The person thinks he's free, but he's not really free. He thinks he's free too, right? In these areas, but he's not really free at all. If something, right, there's no free choice when it comes to choosing between true and false. Right? If a person says, here's a cup of poison, You're free to drink it if you want. You know, so that's not called free. I mean, why would I drink a cup of poison? That's ridiculous. It's stupid. That's idiotic. So I'm not free to drink it because my logic tells me I cannot do such a thing. So you think I'm saying you're free to drink this cup of poison if you want. It's not true. I'm not free. It's not an option for me. So that's what we mean when things are, when the situation is clear, this is clearly false or it's clearly true. Then it's not, you're not really free. Once this is the reality, and a falsehood is nothing. Therefore, once we know the reality, once we see this is true and this is false, so therefore you don't really have free choice. Like just suppose you have free choice to walk off a cliff. You know, I'm going to die. No, maybe you'll sprout wings and you'll be able to fly like a bird. You know, I mean, that could be. Who knows? I mean, maybe. So, you know, it's false. It's a false concept that I'll be able to fly. Right? So therefore, that's what we mean. These areas where we're free, you're not free. Now, v'zui ikas, here we come to our main point. V'zui ikas avoidus odom. Okay, so in other words, we're saying your conquered territories, you're not free. Correct? Things that things that you've always been doing, that you're not free there. Right? Now, it comes out as follows. The main service of a person that says minachofshus is to go beyond being free, as to leave freedom, to stop being free. Mina bechir, from free choice. Mina matzav asher be'emes hasheker shovim lefono el achrech. To make it for yourself that what used to be your own free choice, it becomes a necessity. Because he should recognize that he has to do this for Hashem. In other words, what before used to be a challenge, this is really what we have to be doing. What before used to be a test for us, what before has to be a challenge, we have to get to such a point that we have to do the good way. Because once it's conquered territory, once we conquer this territory that we're busy fighting with at the moment, it will come into the domain of the Eitzah Tov, and then we'll be forced to be good. And that's what we want to get to. We want to get to a point where we're forced to act in a good way, because that's the only option. If someone will give you right now a cheese and salami sandwich, right? You cannot say yes, I'll eat it. You cannot. Technically, you could. Theoretically, you could. I mean, it's right in front of you. No one's stopping you. But you cannot do it. So that's right, because it's already an acquired level. So it becomes what used to be, maybe what used to be in the past, used to be something that you're free to do. It becomes a point where you're now forced to do the right thing. And this is really what we want to get to. We want to get to those things that used to be free, we're now forced to do them. Right, so that's level number one, right, where a person is, feels that he's forced to do the right thing. To come to such a level where a person says that the mitzvahs are rules, decrees, they're unbreakable rules. Amnam. Now let's just finish off here. There's a higher level still. So the one level is what used to be free choice should become that I'm forced to do it because I recognize the truth of doing the right thing and therefore I cannot do that which is false. A higher level is when a person gets to such a level, he sees so clearly that evil is false. The ain of Tzias Klan, and there's no reality, there's no basis for evil. There's no longer any desire to do evil. The higher level, when there's, you don't even want it. You see that salami cheese sandwiches, I don't even want to look at it. I can't even look at it. That's a higher level. A higher level, you don't even want to look at it. You just, you know, it just turns you off. There's no desire at all. This is a high level. You don't want it at all. And the person comes to that he loves goodness. He loves to do goodness. Is something that's lovely to him. It's something that he loves. At this point, he doesn't feel forced anymore. As at a certain point, what used to be free choice, you feel forced to do. Because that's the truth. That's the reality. That's goodness. That's the world to come. Right? So you feel forced. At a higher level than feeling forced, but you don't have any desire to do evil, so then you're not forced anymore. You love to do goodness. It comes to a higher level, and I'm crazy for it. I love to do it. That's what I want. That's what I really want to do. I really want to do the right thing. I really want to do kindness. I really want to daven. I really want to serve Hashem. So at the higher level than that, so then you don't even feel forced anymore because there's such a love for doing that. It's still a higher level. So then That's the ultimate. Because you only, what does forced mean? Forced means you have to do it even though you don't want to. So when we say forced, we always imply that there's a resistance. You don't want to do it, but you're forced, right? You force the kid to clean his room. He doesn't want to clean his room, but you force him, right? So there's no desire to do it. So forced means that there's resistance, right? He's upset with you. He's, you know, you're forcing him, you know, he doesn't have a choice, but he would rather not do it, right? However, something that a person loves to do, so he no longer feels forced. And this is the level of those who serve Hashem out of love. This is the higher level. So then at this point, where he wants to do the right thing, and he loves doing the right thing, he comes to do out of love. That's called an act of love. It's an act of love. A kid really wants to clean his room. It's a joy for him to clean his room. He does it with love. With love, he tidies his room, right? So that would be the higher level. Madregazu Adam Hinu Chofshi B'Emes, and at this point he's really, really free, because now he's free of the Yetzer that's stopping him from doing the right thing. This is true freedom, where the Yetzer is no longer interfering, and you now can do any good thing you want to do because you love to do it. So therefore, you're totally free to live the best type of life possible. He'll face no, there'll be no opposition to that which he loves to do. This is what our rabbis have taught when they said that the truly free person is one who is occupied in Torah. Occupied in Torah study, occupied in a Torah lifestyle. You know, that's his occupation, that's his interest. His interest lies, it's his hobby. It's his passion, right? Is to be occupied. Oisik b'tayr. Oisik means you're engaged in it. You're fully involved in it. You're fully absorbed. You're totally absorbed by it. This is really the mitzvah, to be oisik, to be totally absorbed by Torah, to your living. Asher kol yisyanus kol avosad dvuka b'tayr. Where his whole interest and his whole love, his passion, is all cleaving to the Torah lifestyle. It's like someone who's involved, right? Someone who gets caught up in his sports, or someone who gets caught up in his business, right? He's so crazy for his business, he's there night and day, he sleeps there, he eats there, right? So he becomes totally obsessed with it. So this is the real freedom, because when one is totally in love with the Torah lifestyle, then he's free to manage to soar to the highest of heights. Adam Aruchni Azeh, Ulevada Ben Chayrim Bechoshim. So a person who's truly a spiritual person is the person who's really free to pursue that which is to his benefit, which is for his own goodness and his own pleasure and happiness. That's the ultimate freedom. We speak of freedom. Freedom really means freedom to live as you would like to live. So we all would like to be big tzaddikim. We all would like to be very righteous. We would like that. But we're not always free to do it, because our Yetzer comes in and he stops us from doing all sorts of things. All the things we'd like to do, the Yetzer comes and interferes. So we're not free to live like we want to live. We want to be big tzaddik. We want to mamish be in love with Hashem all day. And just, you know, walk around in the clouds and everything's beautiful and you singing songs to Hashem because it's such a beautiful world. But we would like to be like that, totally engaged, totally involved, totally obsessed with the Torah perspective of life. The Yetzer stops us, interferes. Oh, he says, what about this? What about that? Go to sleep, go do this, do that. But the Yetzer comes and interferes with us, so then we're not free to live as we would like to live. And this is the ultimate freedom, is when you can actually totally conquer your Yetzer Hara. That's the true freedom.